You're so high tech right now.
I'm check me out.
Hey listeners, movers and shakers, welcome to a little teaser for the all new high tech series 2 of Dance Futures. I'm your host, Dr. Ruth Pettybridge, self-confessed dance geek. This series is going to move a little bit slower than last time, and just like the slow food movement, it's going to be even more delicious for it. I'm going to be taking my time to provide you with quality content that discusses dance as a way of life with people who've made it central to theirs. I wanted to take this opportunity to introduce the voices that are going to be joining me regularly on the podcast, Robin Alvarez and Luca Vaccari. When I met with them in the dance studio the other day, it was a bit like having a double shot of espresso added to my day, and I came out buzzing, and I'm sure you will too.
Hey guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome aboard. So I wanted to ask you guys common responses when you tell people that you have either studied dance or are studying dance. What are the most common responses you get, and how do you deal with them?
Can you do the splits is the number one question.
But that's sad because you can do the splits and I can't, so that's not fair.
I can't do the splits either, and I have a PhD and I can't do the splits, and I still get this question.
Imagine if you're not allowed to pass first year unless you can do the splits.
Oh my god, I would have been gone straight away. That's me out. My one I get every day is just like, what style of dance? And you're like, well, I'm going to say contemporary, and you're going to look at me like I'm speaking another language.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, so are you going to go on Britain's Got Talent?
Yeah, Strictly. I've never even watched Strictly.
It's always Strictly.
Yeah, always. No thanks.
No.
And it's like, well, could if I wanted to.
I love that you have that confidence, because I'm like, never.
I'm choosing not to. Yeah. And what are you going to bring to this podcast, guys?
Laughs.
I was going to say banter, but that sounds really infantile.
Really cringy. Yeah. What did you say? You said...
Double espresso, bringing you energy and the potential to chat beans.
Yes! That's exactly what we are bringing.
And then I had to ask what chatting beans meant. So, which is like a perfect example of how these guys are like totally keeping me up to date.
I love it.
Yeah. Before I came to uni to start training, I remember having a conversation with my mum saying, at what point am I allowed to say that I'm a dancer? Mm. Do I have to specify that I'm a dancer in training? Mm. Or do I have to wait until I'm like a professionally paid, like I have a gig somewhere, and then I'm allowed to say that I'm a dancer? And then sometimes I think, oh, a dancer's not enough either, because if you're not in the dance world, then sometimes it's a very one-dimensional view of what a dancer can be. So then I was thinking, oh, well, maybe I'm a performance artist or a movement artist or just a performer of some description.
Or a freelance, are you just like a freelance artist making your way through the world? Especially when you find that your passions overlap into other things, like I sing as well, that was another thing. Am I allowed to be like, I'm a singer?
Yeah.
Is that cocky? Am I being arrogant by being like, hi, I'm Robin, I'm a singer and a dancer and a podcast host.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a double espresso. But yeah, like, how, yeah, totally. Like, when does that label become yours to own?
I think we're all obsessed with it because everyone has the internet to go and be a personality on, and everyone starts all of their things with, hi, I'm Luca and I'm all of these things, and it becomes you have to say all your labels before, like, to give yourself a reason to, you have to prove that you have a like place at the table to talk about certain things.
So true.
Yeah So I wonder what it would be like if we let go of those as well, right? It's so interesting. So that reductive idea of what a dancer is, which you totally demonstrated with your like, can you do the splits, and or you go on Britain's Got Talent or whatever. But then also that reluctance to say I'm a dancer that I have is because, yeah, I'm not doing it in a certain way that I think that people are expecting of that label. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess it's, yeah, what do you feel comfortable calling yourself?
I mean, if we're going off tax records and national insurance, I'm currently a waiter. There we go.
Really good one.
Yeah. What other ways would you describe yourself, you guys, as an introduction to you, to our listeners?
I mean, it's probably a lot of our life experience. We're both part of the queer community. So
raging feminists.
Yeah, raging feminists.
Very angry.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the conversations that we have in our own time and the things that we've been interested in throughout our dance training have focused around queer rights and feminism.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was what like really bonded us.
Yeah.
Like, because you guys are friends, right? You know, I haven't just thrown these two people together randomly and gone like, right, stop.
Yeah, we were gonna say how we met.
Yeah.
I remember the lights dimming. There was a choir in the back.
Yeah, yeah. For people listening who don't know us, Luca is tall and slim. Skinny legend. And I am very short and curvaceous. So yes. We're very different builds.
Yeah.
But we really work together. And I think I remember, like I was saying to you then, before I met Luca, I thought I wouldn't like him. And then it turns out he's the love of my life.
Ah, so much love in that room. So join me, Robin and Luca, for this series of Dance Futures. Whether you just love a good kitchen disco or you're a professionally trained dancer, there will be something for you. You heard at the beginning a little tiny snippet of Theo Klinkard, who is my first guest for the October edition. In November, I've got Camille Barton, an amazing social justice embodiment practitioner based in Amsterdam, and loads more amazing guests working in all ways with the moving body. And it wouldn't be my podcast if I didn't finish with a bit of dance geekery. So this came up in my interview with Theo, and we talked about it before, Robin and Luca and I, in our various guises. This is a part of a lecture by Rebecca Hilton on dancerness. She's talking about the particular set of skills and knowledge that dancers have. And she writes, there is a significant set of information that comes from a dance education, be it autodidactic, institutionalized, via an amateur or a professional experience. However it happens, it is apparent that because of the specialized noticing and complex managing of sensation, space, and time, dancers have the ability to comprehend information at the very point at which our experience of ourselves ends and our experience of the rest of the world begins, and vice versa. I think that dancers give us access to this specialized noticing. I suppose, in part, I'm talking about empathy. So, join me as I notice what I notice in this podcast. And part of my aim is to make some of this kind of niche, this wonderful, beautiful niche that we are in studying and researching and thinking about dance and movement, a bit more accessible and open to other people who might have an interest in it. So please spread the word to your friends and your mums and your dads and your boogie buddies. And follow us on Instagram if you don't want to miss any updates. And that is Dance Futures Podcast on Instagram.